Good morning. Welcome to the Thursday, March 4th meeting of the Education Finance Committee. Remote hearings are held in accordance with House Rule 10.01. This rule has been posted online and is linked to in our public meeting notice on the House website. All remote hearings will be recorded and live streamed by House Public Information Services. Members have the contents of their virtual packets available to them, and for the public, these same materials have been posted online. Members, if you're looking for all these items in one place, they're attached in the calendar event you have that Ms. Burt sent for today. To get on the list to be recognized by the chair, members using the Zoom interface have the ability to raise their hand via the app. Ms. Burt will place your name on the list to be recognized. Ms. Sunderland, would you please take the roll?
Chair Dabney.
Present.
Vice Chair Sandsted.
Present.
Representative Kreisha.
Present.
Representative Bennett.
Present.
Representative Daniels.
Present.
Representative Daymuth.
Present.
Representative Drazkowski.
Present.
Representative Erickson.
Present.
Representative Feist.
Present.
Representative Jordan.
Present.
Representative Marquardt.
Present.
Representative Mueller.
Present.
Representative Richardson is excused, but she'll be joining us later. Representative Thompson.
Archambault,
Thompson,
are you available?
Present.
Excuse me? I heard Thompson.
Thompson, present.
Representative Wolgamott.
Wolgamott, present.
Representative Zhang. Representative Zhang. Representative Buakim.
Present.
And that is the roll, and we do have a quorum.
Sorry.
All right, Zhang present as well.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect. That is
right.
The roll.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sunderland. Representative Feist, have you had an opportunity to review the minutes from yesterday, Wednesday, March 3rd's meeting of the committee?
Yes, I have, Mr. Chair, and I move those minutes.
Thank you very much. Any discussion to the Feist motion to approve the Wednesday, March 3rd minutes? Hearing none, all those in favor of the Feist motion, please signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Representative Feist. Members, today we will be hearing and laying over two bills, House File 649 and House File 1314. First up is House File 649. Members, our intention is to review this bill and complete it by 10:55 this morning. Representative Sandsted, would you like to make a motion to move House File 649 before the committee and to lay it over for possible inclusion or further consideration at a later date?
I would. Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I move House File 649 before the committee to be laid over for possible inclusion for further consideration at another date.
All right. Thank you, Representative Sandsted. Please proceed with your presentation.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 649 clarifies the statewide concurrent enrollment teacher training program and increases its funding. Minnesota's post-secondary enrollment options, otherwise known as PSEO programs, include a number of models, including concurrent enrollment, which often goes by the name of college in the schools. Instructors in these programs are most often high school teachers specially trained by the sponsoring area that are sponsoring college or university. A few years ago, the Higher Learning Commission enacted a requirement that these concurrent enrollment teachers must have at least 18 master degrees credit in their field of teaching. Many concurrent enrollment teachers, while already having a master's degree, do not have these credits in the specific area that they teach. In 2016, the legislature first appropriated funds for the Northwest Regional Partnership to take these credits to high school or to provide these credits to high school teachers. This program is now referred to as the 18 Online Program, referring to the 18 credits required, and that fact, much of the coursework is done online. In 2017, the legislature added to the funding and expanded the program statewide. House File 649 makes some clarifying changes to the session law where the program was established, allows other interested Minnesota colleges and universities to participate, removes a required report on the program, and renames the program the Concurrent Enrollment Teacher Partnership. It appropriates $1 million in each of fiscal year 22 and 23 to the Lakes Country Service Cooperative, which will serve as the fiscal host for the partnership. This legislation will ensure Minnesota students can take the path that's best for them in high school and will ensure teachers are qualified to deliver lessons at the level required of them. I'd appreciate your support, and I'm happy to answer questions. I also have three testifiers with me today, and the first one, if I may, is Jeremy Kovash.
Mr. Kovash, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Jeremy Kovash, good morning, Chair Dabney and committee. I am Jeremy Kovash, Executive Director of Lakes Country Service Cooperative, testifying in support of House File 649. Representative Stanstead gave a great history of the program and the need for the program, and I'm happy to report that your original $3 million allocation reaped great benefits for our teachers and students across Minnesota. The original $3 million allocation has been completely expended, and we have seen tremendous success. In 2015, the state of Minnesota estimated that our concurrent enrollment instructors across all school districts in the state of Minnesota we're short approximately 15,000 graduate credits. This program to date, your original $3 million allocation, has helped our concurrent enrollment teachers attain nearly 10,000 of those needed credits. The additional $375,000 allocated in 2017 has helped additionally. So we're very proud of that. Of course, that's a moving target. The needed credits are a moving target because people and teachers and programs come and go. They move, they change school districts, and their assignments change. But with your support, this project has been immensely successful. The 10,000 credits earned are primarily in a dozen high-need subject areas and have served over 800 teachers in more than 250 of Minnesota school districts. Members of this committee, you can be proud of the bipartisan investments made in this program. Here are the resulting impacts on students as reported by MDE in December of 2019 in a report called Rigorous Course Taking Report, spanning the 2011 through 2017 school years. In the 2016 and 17 school year, 319 districts and charter schools offered 74,000 concurrent enrollment courses to about 32,000 students through 38 Minnesota colleges and universities for 255,000 plus credits, college credits. Of note and of particular interest are in total participation by students, increases in total participation by students from 2011 through 2017, 58% increase by total students, with the greatest increase in students of color, 184%, followed by English learners, 105% increase, special education, 98% increase, and low-income students, 81% increase. The report, again, notes a 184% increase from 2011 through 2017 in participation in concurrent enrollment by students of color. Concurrent enrollment programs, of course, allow students the chance to remain in their high school programs with their teachers and peers while earning credit at Minnesota colleges. That comfort level is something that our kids, our students, and our staff greatly appreciate. Moving forward, House File 649 will allow us to sustain the current graduate course offerings in the future. This will allow us to deliver 50 or more courses per year, generating 3,000 additional credits annually, therefore securing the ability of our high school teachers and their higher ed partners to maintain growing and robust portfolio of concurrent enrollment course offerings for our students. Thank you for your consideration and support. I will certainly be here to answer questions, and we do have two principals with us, and I will introduce both of them at this time. Kelly Anderson is the principal at Holly High School, and Dean Monkey, the principal at Fergus Falls High School. And Kelly Anderson is next to testify, and I will, Mr. Chair, I will stand for questions as well.
Thank you, Mr. Kovash. Ms. Anderson, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and then proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Dabney. My name is Kelly Anderson, and I'm a high school principal in Holly, Minnesota. For our part, offering concurrent enrollment courses affords a wide array of benefits for our students, especially so in rural Minnesota's smaller schools. In buildings with a limited number of staff, the ability to partner with post-secondary institutions to receive guidance, structure, and oversight in maintaining a high level of rigor is a boon to our students and to increasing expectations within our school overall. As the bar is raised, all benefit. We know that the single most important factor for building self-esteem and achieving a positive self-image is accomplishment and task completion. It is quite easy to see how students who accept the challenge of a more rigorous course of study stand to gain significantly from the experience that concurrent enrollment does provide. For our students, achieving success in concurrent classes is a validation for their aspirations. For others who might question their ability beyond high school to achieve success, it provides them with the realization that they do belong on a challenging path, one that can lead them to meaningful and appropriate vocational choices. Benefits of this nature are also known to younger students who realize the need to perform more optimally as they grow towards the age of entry-level concurrent classes. Because of GPA and testing requirements, they understand that hard work is required now in order to afford them opportunities later. This is residual benefit is anecdotal, but manifests itself every spring during registration. Now, without question, parents are often more engaged in the academic pursuit as they too are aware of the future benefit. Of course, this does create something of an economic burden on our districts, as this does not come without cost. However, we have been able to keep more of our students on campus rather than attend PSEO classes at any of the four secondary campuses within 25 miles of us. In reality, the program allows districts to maintain or retain more of the capital than we otherwise would. We also feel the high school experience with all the social, emotional, academic, and co-curricular opportunities is beneficial for our students. In addition, with my conversation with kids, the in-house classes as compared to online classes are much more appreciated with the students. Kids who have been online find their rigor is a little bit less and they do tire of the process. Holly has graduated numerous students who go on to finish a two-year program in 1 year or a four-year degree in three. The cost savings is significant, and with the talk of college debt not going away in the news or political posturing anytime soon, this truly is a benefit to every single student who enters our program. We have for years asked our students when they return for a visit whether or not they were prepared, and without one exception, the reports have been a resounding yes. We believe that concurrent enrollment is certainly part of this affirmation. And it should be noted also, not one has ever stated that they wish they hadn't worked so hard in high school. We strongly support the program and would like to see it grow, especially in the areas that lean more vocational in nature. Regardless whether our students leave us for military, short-term training, 1 or 2 year degrees, or a bachelor's degree, all who have made the commitment to participate in concurrent enrollment certainly have fostered personal growth and enriched their experiences both here and beyond. So thank you for allowing me to speak.
Thank you, Ms. Anderson. Mr. Monkey, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning. I'm Dean Monkey. I'm the secondary school principal here in Fergus Falls. I speak to you today in full support of any additional funding that you can designate to the 18 online program. Frankly, I think that this has been some of the best and most challenging staff development work that members of my staff have taken on, and this has been a great partnership between Minnesota State University at Moorhead, Lakes Country Service Cooperative, and teachers across the state. But the program is not complete, and we need help from the state of Minnesota to fully fund this program and work towards its completion. I know personally several students that were not sure about post-secondary opportunities, but they took a college in the high school course, found they could do well, gave them a ton of confidence, and moved on to take on more college in the high school, other PSEO options, and went from there to college and university studies. College concurrent enrollment for high school students is a wonderful opportunity, but we can't do that without highly trained high school teachers. With the new highly trained qualified requirements, we will lose many outstanding teachers that have been teaching these college and the high school courses for years, and time is running out to train these teachers or new teachers. This is an investment that the state of Minnesota can make in their teachers that is right here and now, and the benefits will be around for years to come. Like I said before, these graduate courses are challenging, and they bring teaching colleagues together in the same disciplines to really dig deep into like topics, and this makes for some tremendous learning opportunities. I know that many of my teachers that have made this commitment to the program are very willing to challenge themselves and devote the time necessary, but the financial burden of full graduate tuition on top of their already busy schedules might be too much to allow them to be part of this program if the financial assistance is not there. Fergus Falls is an average-sized school district, but we have had several different teachers take advantage of this 18 online program covering all four core of our major disciplines. I may have a conflict of interest here because of my own daughter, Mariah, has recently taken advantage of this program, but she is a perfect example of a fourth-year teacher, recent move to another area of the state because of a marriage, only working part-time right now, has the time to devote to this course of study, but the financial burden of paying for all of these graduate credits right now might not be possible without the help from this 18 online program. She is a great math teacher, an excellent teacher in the opinion of her father, at least, and if given this training opportunity, she will be impacting students positively for many years to come. We need the option of college concurrent courses being taught in the high school. This really works well for many of our students. The state of Minnesota needs to invest in training these highly qualified high school teachers, and the investment doesn't just pay off within their college classes, it pays off for all of the students that come in contact with these teachers each and every day. Please continue to support this 18 online program. The investment will have many positive returns. And thanks for the opportunity to share with you today.
Thank you, Mr. Monkey. Representative Sandstead, any other testifiers?
I do not have any.
All right. Questions from members? Apparently, Representative Sandstead, you dazzled them.
Amazing.
Any closing comments?
I just want to thank you for hearing the bill. I would encourage support. This is really a wonderful program that benefits our students, really helps deliver high-quality programming in the public schools, into the schools, instead of having our students have to leave the schools to go to a college setting. And in the long run, saves just a tremendous amount of money, and it reaches such a broad spectrum of our students. So your support would be greatly appreciated.
Thank you very much. And with that, Representative Sandstead renews her motion to lay House File 649 over for possible inclusion in a future bill. Thank you, Representative. Members, next up, we have House File 1314, the Minnesota Youth Council Bill. Members, our plan is to lay this over by 11:55. Welcome to the committee, Representative Morrison. I believe this is your first bill ever before the House Education Finance Committee. Am I remembering correctly?
Well, thank you for the warm welcome, Mr. Chair.
Did you bring treats?
I did. They are virtual treats.
Ah, very good. All right. Hopefully the treat will be the young people.
The treat will absolutely be the testifiers, Mr. Chair.
I'm sure of it. Representative Marquardt, would you be so kind as to move House File 1314 to be before the committee and laid over for possible inclusion?
Mr. Chair, I'll make that motion.
Thank you very much, Representative Marquardt. With that, Representative Morrison, please proceed with introducing your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members, for the opportunity to present House File 1314, which is a bill to fund the Minnesota Youth Council. Our legislative body has benefited tremendously from the expertise, honesty, and creativity of the young representatives who serve on the Minnesota Youth Council. We listen carefully when they testify because the voices of young people are otherwise absent often in our decision-making process. The 36 young people representing our 8 congressional districts have advised us on everything from the impact of culturally competent classrooms to the need for additional mental health supports. In 2013, our state government took an important step when we created the only legislatively mandated state youth council in the country. In the 8 years since we made that great decision, the Minnesota Youth Council reps have become trusted colleagues and thought partners in our institution. Their insight is requested by both bodies of the legislature, state departments, regional councils, foundations, and affiliated groups of young people across the state and throughout the country. In the same way we invested in the power of young people when we created this committee, it is time for us now to financially invest in them. This bill would provide $375,000 per year for the next 2 years to help the Minnesota Youth Council meet the increasing demands of their work. And Mr. Chair, I am thrilled and proud to be joined today by current representatives of the Minnesota Youth Council, as well as alums of the program.
Very good. Thank you, Representative Morrison. With that, we have a number of testifiers. We will start with Ms. Collins. Ms. Collins, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony. Thank you.
Chair Dabney and members of the committee, hello, my name is Ava Collins. I am a senior at St. Anthony Village High School, a small public high school located just outside of Northeast Minneapolis. I have served as a representative on the Minnesota Youth Council since the fall of 2017, the beginning of my first year of high school. Since, I have held positions ranging from the survey subcommittee chair, Congressional District 4 chair, policy communications chair, and the Minnesota Youth Council committee chair. My titles as a member of the MYC are something I am proud of, yet amount almost nothing to the people I've met, skills I've gained, and work I've done as a member of the MYC. I am here today in support of House File 1314 because the Minnesota Youth Council has the potential to uplift, empower, and educate young people as individuals, but more importantly, change the conversation surrounding young people to include them. In this committee, you have been extremely welcoming of Youth Voice and Minnesota Youth Council, for which I am so grateful. If you are not familiar with what our organization is or the purpose we serve, I suggest you to look at Minnesota State Statute Section 124D.957, which states the language of the mandate that passed in 2013. Subdivision 1 outlines establishment of the Minnesota Youth Council Committee and membership. Subdivision 2, duties, and Subdivisions 3 and 4, partnerships with departments and private organizations and the legislature, respectively. The Minnesota Youth Council is an organization of 36 young people from all across the state, 4 members from each congressional district, and 4 at-large members. Though the format of our group has changed over the years, we are currently running in a structure with 4 issue-focused subcommittees, health and wellness, juvenile justice, environmental justice, and education equity. These issues were determined through an in-depth process, citing MYC members for reference, the Minnesota Student Survey, prevalence within the state, existing legislation, community partnerships, and more. The MYCC is required to hold 2 legislative hearings each session, hear a minimum of 4 bills, and provide feedback to bill authors and testifiers as any legislative committee would. The MYC also has the responsibility to advise the state departments on issues impacting young people. And additionally, the council works with community partners to work on projects in their respective subcommittees and host events to further engage young people in advocacy work, such as Youth at the Capitol and the Youth and Educational Leadership Summit. Given all of this, and the fact that members of MYC are likely among the busiest, most engaged demographic of young people in our state, the responsibility of being a member of the Minnesota Youth Council is a great honor and commitment. An honor and commitment that is not taken for granted, but used to the fullness of its duty. One of the most special things I've observed on the council is how conversations are so centered on the future. Of course, this can be credited to the nature of work we do and policy as a whole. Still, the selflessness that this group works from can only be defined as visionary. There are a few tangible gains that come with membership, no insane notoriety, lobby interests, or paychecks, just a pretty sweet mark on a resume. Members do this work because they feel compelled to make change and hope that future young Minnesotans have a safer, healthier, just, inclusive, and more opportunistic path to walk. They do this work because they feel and see and understand the burdens that young people carry because they are the young people that carry them. As I stated earlier, I began my first term as a member of the NYC in the fall of 2017. In February 2018, the Parkland school shooting occurred. It was one of those moments where things that seem to only exist in writing are on the news. I had heard so much about youth voice in my first 5 months on the council, and I was horribly intimidated by the high schoolers who actually understood policy to the point of having an opinion on it. But I believed in the importance of young people's voices so much that I took to getting to the same point of understanding as them. And then here I was, seeing young people on the news being listened to, and adults everywhere facing the realization that they didn't know what it was like to experience an active shooter drill or enter school each day with the threats of violence. Adults are still hesitant to look to students, even though they were the experts of the experience. The NYC wrote a statement about Parkland and the March for Our Lives movement. While I am proud of so much that the NYC has done, I am significantly proud of that statement and its relevance to that moment. As a young white woman from a first-ring suburb, I came to the NYC thinking I knew what diversity was. I was wrong. I have learned about understanding and empathizing, learning and unlearning, respecting and standing up. This is not only a beautifully diverse group, but an inclusive one that brings power to those who need it and deserve it and so infrequently are given it. I am grateful for this group and the connections I have with people from many backgrounds and many perspectives. It's that same theme as earlier, a group that was intimidating in such a sense that I challenged myself to be better. NYC members are also paired with an adult partner, intended to be a sort of mentor and support system. I am lucky enough to have the former NYC policy manager and Master of Human Rights candidate, Bailey Sutter, serve as my adult partner. While the youth of the Minnesota Youth Council are stellar in every way, it obviously wouldn't be possible for our work to stretch like it does without the support of adult partners, the Minnesota Alliance with Youth, and the incredible NYC staff. The adults so committed to supporting and empowering young people that serve with us, not to bring us snacks or to hope we have a good time, are integral to the processes and trajectory of the NYC. I hope I've made my love and support of the NYC clear through the value I've gained and the value that the NYC has to communities of young people throughout the state. As the legislature functions, there has to be a fiscal note put to that value. However, please recognize that it is necessary to provide young people representation in the decisions that impact them. We are entering a time where, as a society, we can understand the vitality of inclusion and representation, and I ask that you act on that shift and take steps to support organizations like NYC in doing that work. I hope that you will vote to support House File 1314 and not allow our incredible, hardworking, and visionary group to keep functioning as an unfunded mandate. Thank you so much for listening to young people on issues that impact them. I yield my time to the chair.
Thank you, Ms. Collins. Next on my list is Paula Akakpo. Let me try that again. Paula Akakpo. You're free to correct the chair's pronunciation and hopefully accept apologies as well. Welcome to the committee. Please correct my pronunciation for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hello, my name is Paula Akakpo. I'm an 11th grader at Math and Science Academy and a young Black woman and a second-year Minnesota Youth Council representative. And I am here today in support of House File 1314. Growing up, I was mostly raised by my mother, who juggled school, work, and taking care of me. At the time, I went to an elementary school that made me feel completely incapable. I wasn't in the fast track or in the gifted program, so I didn't have the same opportunity or resources as other students. As time went on, I moved on to a different school, and I felt for the first time capable, possibly even talented. Nothing about me had changed. I was still being raised by my mother, and I was still a young girl. The only new factor was my school and the school district I was in. Even though I was so young, I was aware of the fact that my education was vastly different depending on if I was receiving it in one city or another. It made me feel upset and cheated. I felt I didn't have the likelihood of success compared to my peers. When I joined the Minnesota Youth Council in 2019, it was the first time I had any agency. I was given the chance to present at hearings, to work with young people who cared about issues like education equity, meet with representatives and state agencies. I had I had a say on issues that have affected me ever since I was a little girl. Getting to be in a space where my life story was not viewed as a statistic or unimportant was life-changing and self-affirming. Every year, as a state, we set a goal of diminishing the opportunity gap, a problem that has youth right at the center of it. This goal cannot be accomplished without the Minnesota Youth Council, and as a council, we are already doing the hard work to get this done. Issues that affect youth should have youth input. This is the exact reason why the Minnesota Youth Council is a legislatively mandated body. But the Minnesota Youth Council is not given the same value or funding like any other state-mandated agency, despite the fact that we are doing the same work. The Minnesota Youth Council's work goes beyond bill hearings. As representatives, we create town halls and forums with elected officials to make sure other young people from all backgrounds have the chance to tell their story. We work with state agencies like the Minnesota Department of Education and how we can reduce suspension rates in our state. We work with community partners like the Legal Rights Center to make youth-based projects, for example, Know Your Rights trainings for our communities. We give testimony for bills just like this one to make sure that young people's voices are always being included in the narrative. As Minnesota Youth Council representatives, our work does not end in council meetings. We bring our advocacy into our schools and communities. Our labor never ends. Young people have been doing the work. We want to do the work, and we should be funded for this work. Funding the Minnesota Youth Council will reach every young person in Minnesota. This money would be used for all young people who are making an impact with their community projects. These funds would make sure that being a representative on the Minnesota Youth Council isn't just a position for those who have had the privilege to afford transportation or skip a day off of work. The Minnesota Youth Council continues to put young people at the forefront and work on issues like education equity, juvenile justice, environmental justice, and mental health. And the council continues to be dedicated to working to create change as leaders in Minnesota. The council's ability to get funded should not be undermined by the very thing that makes our voices needed, our youth. Thank you for your time. I yield my time to the chair.
Thank you, Ms. Acapo. Next on my list is Bridget Westrom. Ms. Westrom, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Dabney and members of the committee for your time. My name is Bridget Westrom and I'm a junior from Bemidji, Minnesota. I also currently serve as the district chair for Congressional District 7 on the Minnesota Youth Council. I originally joined the council because I thought it would help to uplift my voice and make me feel more heard. But really, it has done so much more than that. I've been involved in advocacy for as long as I can remember, always with an emphasis on rural youth voice and closing the opportunity gap between Metro youth and Greater Minnesota youth. I have lived in rural Minnesota my entire life, but I travel to the cities often to do the things I love, like being on the council and volunteering at the Minnesota Zoo. I have been lucky. Most people I know can't travel to the cities monthly. They can barely attend after school activities. We don't have public transportation where I live. We don't have safe Uber or Lyft drivers, and honestly, we could really use them. I live in Beltrami County, and we have one of the highest poverty rates in the state. Parents are working 3 jobs a week, and it's up to students to work out transportation, and that really isn't something that should be happening. If you miss the bus, you're out of luck because that was the last one, and you now have to walk home or find a ride with someone that you know can drive, and they have their driver's license, but you don't really know them well. And after-school activities, those are only for middle-class kids and upper-class kids, the kids whose parents can bring them to and from their activities without breaking the bank. Everyone else is on the bus at 3:05 or walking home. The time I've spent in Minneapolis and St. Paul has really taught me a lot about how different access looks in our communities. You can get a ride from clicking your phone 6 times. You can ride a transit bus safely, and you can have a Metro card that will take you wherever you want to go, which is why it's important I have a voice. It is really hard for people that grow up in big cities to see what it's like to live in a small one. And I get that. I really do. We need to be recognized and our disadvantages need to be noticed. Just because our towns are more spread out than metro areas doesn't mean we don't deserve the same opportunities. The Youth Council this year especially has really helped me learn how to advocate better for my constituents. I've attended multiple bill hearings about things that mean a lot to me, and I have developed better relationships with state representatives and senators. I can only go up from here, and I'm really glad to have the NYC staff and other reps by my side. The Youth Council has furthered my advocacy career in so many ways, but what I'm most grateful for is the knowledge and experience I've gained in my last 2 years on the council. I'm typically a very shy person, but with the council by my side, my confidence has skyrocketed. They are the reason I'm here talking to you today, and honestly, a year ago, I would have declined this offer and just stayed in my own little safe bubble. The encouragement I've received from the council to do the out-of-the-box, slightly uncomfortable, but extremely powerful things is very meaningful to me. You know, I have a real social justice platform now. People see me and they know I know what I'm talking about because I've been on the news and in the paper, and I talk to everyone about my experiences on the council. Youth from my area come to me and they tell me the things going on in their schools and what they think should be changed and how it would be better for our students. It's really amazing. It's an amazing feeling knowing that your constituents trust you enough to come to you with the issues that mean most to them. But you all are no stranger to that fact. The Minnesota Youth Council representatives incite hope in the communities where hope has not in the past been plentiful. And that's important. Youth need to know we are listening, because if they don't, what kind of adults will they be? Decisions about Greater Minnesota and students like me are often made by people who don't know us or our experiences. My position as a Youth Council representative means that I can take the stories from my peers and share them in new spaces like this. I'm testifying in support of House File 1314, which would provide funding for the Minnesota Youth Council because young people from across Minnesota look up to us. And as we imagine a state that looks to young people for guidance, we must invest in them as we would any other group. Currently, the Youth Council is unfunded by the state, whereas other advisory groups are. What does that say about the way adults see young people and what we do? Investing in the Minnesota Youth Council is not just investing in the Minnesota Youth Council. It's investing in the future of Minnesota. It's telling our youth that they are heard and showing them that they can drive change and have ideas and that adults will listen to them. It is telling youth that you support them and believe in them. By investing in the Minnesota Youth Council, you will be investing in a better tomorrow. In my community, I saw a need for young people to access the outdoors and engage in advocacy in a way that felt more hands-on. And because of the Minnesota Youth Council, I was able to receive a small grant to start a project called Growing Our Future. Growing Our Future gives free gardening kits to youth in and around Bemidji, Minnesota, and teaches them how to garden and be self-sustainable, all while promoting the importance of caring for the environment. All youth ages 18 and under are eligible to receive a free gardening kit, and I'm proud to say that over 3/4 of those kits have been spoken for. This project involves not only youth, but their families, and it adds a much needed sense of community to the lives of students in my area. The grant that sort of legitimized my project was the Youth Voice Service Grant, and without that opportunity through the council, I would not be able to invest personally in the lives of local young people. I'll be continuing this project in the years to come, and I know that the Youth Council will always have my back. Thank you for your time and listening to all constituents, even those who cannot elect the people that represent them. I can't be in the Capitol all the time to testify, but if my time on the council has taught me anything, it's that I don't have to be. I can advocate on behalf of the youth in my community through written word and through virtual testimonies, because we all know Greater Minnesota needs all the support we can get. Thank you so much. I'm very excited to continue working with you. I yield my time to the chair.
Thank you, Ms. Westrom. Next is Winston Lowmiller. Winston, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Thank you, Chair Dabney, and the rest of the members of the committee. My name is Weston Lofmiller. I'm a representative of the Minnesota Youth Council. I'm in my 4th year on the council, and at the same time, I'm also a senior in high school at Fairmont Area High School. I attend Fairmont Area High School. It's a small rural high school right on the border of Iowa. I live in a town less than 10,000 people, attend a church of less than 80 people each Sunday, and I even raise livestock for to show at my county fair each summer. My life is anything but urban. In my hometown, there isn't much of an opportunity for involvement in state politics directly. And that lack of resources is compounded by being a young person. Most of the resources in the community are ensuring work in the future, with a heavy emphasis on the trades, which is certainly something that rural America desperately needs. However, with this primary focus on helping the local community economically, involvement at the State House can often be put to the wayside. Because of this, many young people will leave high school and career development thinking that no matter how important the decisions are made in St. Paul and at the Capitol are, they really can have no effectiveness. This is a serious problem, but however, throughout high school, the Minnesota Youth Council was able to fill this gap for my community and myself. Before the council, I understood what was going on in the news, but I had no real understanding of how it worked and how to effectively enact change. But the council gave me a firsthand view of what happened in St. Paul. I was able to meet with countless legislators, executive agencies, and even the governor. Because of this, it gave me an opportunity that kids in rural America and greater Minnesota often don't have. But the Youth Council isn't just a glorified field trip. We have direct action and involvement inside of the Capitol and what happens when making policy for Minnesotans. Oftentimes, in terms of when we hold hearings, you can hear me asking questions about how the policy will affect rural America and non-metro counties. And that gets to the heart of what the Minnesota Youth Council is. It's a body which allows for people all across the state to voice their concerns and be involved in action that directly affects them. Along with this, I was also able to bring students in my high school to a statewide interactive event hosted by the Youth Council, the Youth Educational Leadership Summit. The involvement in the youth and the Minnesota Youth Council isn't just an individual thing. It brings your whole community with you. The Minnesota Youth Council has given me the opportunity to be involved in state politics in a fashion unheard of in greater Minnesota. It's one of the main reasons I'm even planning on pursuing a career in government in the first place. If you want engaged and civically minded citizens from all walks of life entering the workforce in the coming years, the Minnesota Youth Council is one of the best ways to do so. For all these reasons, I am in support of House File 1314, and I yield my time to the chair.
Thank you, Mr. Lowmiller. And to note that Representative Richardson has joined us. Thank you for that. Next on my list is Niecy Parker. Ms. Parker, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Hi, can you guys hear me well?
We can.
Good, okay. Chair Davney, members of the committee, my name is Niecy Parker and I am alum of Minnesota Youth Council and currently the Youth Engagement Manager at Youth Prize. Starting in my junior year of high school, I took a strong interest in community development and service. I was constantly looking for outlets and opportunities that would impact the communities I grew up in and help folks with similar circumstances. I was attending Augsburg Fairview Academy when my mentor, who was also a Promise Fellow for the charter school, presented me with the Minnesota Youth Council. My beginning interests were mainly how the council would look on my resume. However, it did so much more than that. During my time as a council member, I gained facilitation skills in research, philanthropy, design thinking, and policy. With a $50,000 grant from Youth Prize and using a youth-directed giving model, my peers and I were able to re-grant $25,000 to multiple organizations we felt were impacting our communities in positive ways. Partner with the Legendary Intermediate Arts to produce a documentary on the effects of drug use and addiction amongst young people in the state of Minnesota, and build long-lasting relationships that I hold dear to my heart, even outlasting today. A week after my graduation, I was hired at Youth Prize, the nonprofit intermediary who partnered with the Youth Council during my term. I guess they thought I was cute. That was a joke. Never mind. Youth Prize has the mission to increase equity with and for Minnesota Indigenous, low-income, and racially diverse youth with three impact areas: learning and leadership, health and safety, and economic opportunity, all of which I have become well-versed in my current position as Youth Engagement Manager. 8 years later, I still contemplate on the impact the Minnesota Youth Council has had on my outcome of my social and professional networks. My career and my understanding of how my hands along with others can reshape the communities we live in. I also consider the possibilities that could arise and the minds that can be developed with the proper funding, respect, and support from the adults who are here to help them make a difference. I hope you consider the worth of each individual and each story, and that you too will choose to join us in the reshaping of our communities, as it is desperately needed. Thank you.
Ms. Parker, thank you for that. Last on the list that I have is DeAndre Gordon. Mr. Gordon, welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony.
Good morning, Chair Daphne and committee members. My name is DeAndre Gordon, and I am a former Minnesota Youth Council alumnus and current Minnesota Alliance with Youth board member. I'm here to testify in strong support of House File 1314, and I'd like to thank Representative Morrison and authors for carrying this House file. When I immigrated to Bemidji from Jamaica almost 8 years ago, I felt isolated because of the new environments I would eventually acclimate to, and virtually all the systems I had to navigate, namely the education system, decisions were being made about youth without youth. This can lead to a sense of disempowerment amongst youth, and when youth are disempowered, the faith of our republic is at stake. When I learned there was a statewide youth council that directly advised the legislature, I was thrilled because I saw the Minnesota Youth Council as an opportunity to directly engage with lawmakers. My time on the youth council helped me to develop a strong passion for public policy and organic community engagement. Minnesota consistently ranks as one of the worst states for the opportunity gap. Children and youth are more racially and ethnically diverse than our population as a whole, 31% compared to 20% of all residents. The Minnesota Youth Council provides a space where students can build relationships with caring adults to support positive development, avoid risky behaviors, and thrive. Funding the Minnesota Youth Council is a concrete way how this committee and the legislature can invest in youth and help close the opportunity gap. Since my term ended with the Youth Council many years ago, I've served on many community organizations, boards, advised political campaigns, and remained engaged with lawmakers through various positions I've held. The Minnesota Youth Council equipped me with the tools I needed to be successful in advocating for policies that will make my community better. Perhaps the most important thing that I gained from being on the Minnesota Youth Council was making the connections between public policies and the impact they have on communities. Tying public policies to the success or detriment of communities has been profound for me. If you invest in youth through the MYC, youth can be a part of the solutions that make Minnesota a more attractive and livable state for everyone. Minnesota can choose to lead in affirming youth voice through a direct appropriation to the Minnesota Youth Council. The Minnesota Youth Council changed my life, and because of my involvement with the council, I've chosen to dedicate my life to public service. With that, members, I'll conclude my testimony. Thank you for hearing my story, and I hope you support this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Gordon. We now move to member questions. Representative Kreisha, we traditionally allow you to bat cleanup for your team, but your hand's up early, so we'll let you be the leadoff instead.
And Mr. Chair, I was just getting up to bat cleanup, so I'll let all the other ones go, and then I'll come back around.
Just fine. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to all the testifiers. I just want to express my support for the Minnesota Youth Council. You're a tremendous resource for those of us at the legislature working on policy. I turned to your group first in March when we pivoted to distance learning. I met with you in May to find out how things were going, and have worked with the organization on legislation before around mental health. And I just want to thank you for all that you're doing. And maybe just ask one question. It's so exciting what you do to begin with, and the development, not just for us at the legislature helping craft policy, but the experiences that you've had becoming engaged in public policy and at the legislature and on issues that you really care about is even worth more. But what more do you think you're going to be able to do very exciting with more money. So that would be my question to whoever would like to answer it.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. Which of the testifiers would be in the best position to answer that question?
Chair Dabney, Representative Joachim, I'm happy to answer.
Ms. Clint.
Yeah, thank you. I think a lot of us are hesitant to come up with a long-term plan without established funding or a knowledge of what we'll be able to do. But like I was saying in my testimony, that's also like visionary thing. We'd really like to have that established structure, really be able to further establish our voices in the legislature and create longer lasting connections with our departments. There's always shifts with gubernatorial elections and things like that, but I think we'd really like to work to establish ourselves as an organization in the legislature. And then once we have that, really be able to go into our communities, engage more directly with young people to truly be representative of our constituencies.
Thank you, Ms. Clins. Representative Joachim?
Thank you. That's a fantastic answer.
Members, just a note here. When the hearing was posted to the public, we, as we always do, provided the public with instructions if they chose to want to testify. No one has come forward. However, I do want to direct you to a number of letters that you've received or that are on the public website for the committee supporting the Minnesota Youth Council, including one from Secretary Simon, our Secretary of State. Representative Marquardt.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members. I just really want to thank the students and others for testifying. As they mentioned, the Minnesota Youth Council is really, you know, able to increase the understanding, the involvement, and the input of youth in our legislative process, which I think is fantastic. And over the years, this Youth Council has not only been a really good resource for the legislature, and that was one of the intents of why that was set up, is to, you know, provide input into the legislature, give youth a voice under the dome. But they've also been a fantastic resource and support for youth around the state. They just have done a super job in the short number of years that this has been formed. So I want to thank the testifiers and thank the work of the Minnesota Youth Council.
Thank you, Representative Marquardt. You were key in all of that work. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, members. Paula, I don't want to chop her name up, Akapu, and Bridget Westrom from Beltrami County, in particular, called me with their testimony, Chair, and I do know that I say this all the time. We're talking about Beltrami County, which is not Ramsey County, but also St. Louis County and Clay County and a lot of other counties across the state have some of the same things that these children are talking about today, and they need our help. And so I just wanted to thank you for showing how we may live in several areas of the state, but we still have the same problems, and we need to listen to the children. I thought this was a very powerful testimony from both of the young ladies, and I just wanted to just uplift, and I will be supporting these children 100%, and I think we all should, because our future looks bright with the youth. And so if we listen to anybody, we should definitely listen to the youth, because they know exactly what they need. So thank you so much for their powerful testimony.
Thank you, Representative Thompson. At this point, Representative Kreisha, I think we're at cleanup.
Thank you.
Okay, and Representative Kreisha, I'm going to pause you as soon as you know how it works. As soon as you say that, somebody pops up. Representative Feist. And members, at this point, I'm going to hand the virtual gavel over to Representative Sandsteed. Representative Sandsteed, thank you very much. Representative Great. Feist.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a question for Weston. I need to know what record that is behind you.
Weston.
I'm not here. Looks like it's a bunch of bassoon music. I'm just in the basement of my high school and one of the practice rooms for band, because I just need somewhere quick to go.
I thought it was like an homage to your most favorite special album ever, and I needed to know what it was.
But I also find this all very inspiring. And it's great to see Ava again from 41B. It's awesome how often you're sharing your thoughts with this committee. So thank you. And thanks, everyone.
Representative Kreisha. Representative Kreisha.
I'm sorry. Madam Chair, just a reminder, what's the motion on this again?
It is to be laid over.
Okay, thank you. May I go ahead?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So, first of all, let me tell you, Representative Marquardt, thank you for all your work in bringing this in. I know you were very instrumental in this. I know those of us that are educators see the value of civic duty that comes with participating in our democracy and our kids. And this group over the years has certainly done that. But I'm also going to play the curmudgeon sage for a moment. And what I'm going to say is everything that we've heard from this committee has always been inspiring, has been enlightening and illuminating. These are kids that are progressing and moving through and opening their minds up to some of the possible solutions for future. Here's where I'll add the caveat in the butt, and that is just remember this. When something becomes about the money, it becomes about the money. And I would hope that this group never becomes about the money. We see lots of leadership organizations that come down to the Capitol, whether it's the Civil Air Patrol or the FFA, and these are tremendous leaders, not unlike yourselves. However, what I would say is one of the fallacies that I think adults have done, and if you can learn from us, is once something becomes about the money or how much you put it into the state budget, it then becomes something that must be evaluated and measured and can be possibly cut down the road. It can be something that's argued about. And I don't believe the intentions of this group was ever to make you and the youth who participated in this about the money. You were doing this as a civic duty, and with civic duty comes responsibility and not necessarily a paycheck. And I bring this up because I think one of the things that we've lost in our culture, or that we don't have enough of, I won't even say we've lost, is the idea of what sacrifice really is about, to move an idea forward, to grow on the inner side without worrying about whether or not it's a dollar or a column in a spreadsheet down at the state capitol. Because there's lots of things that we can and should be doing for our communities that are just the right things to do, and they require that bit of sacrifice. And the reason I bring this up is because once we make sacrifice into a civic duty that is paid for, we now lose the true altruistic motives that brought us to it, which is the inner side of making ourselves better. And so while I support this committee, I support what your work you're doing 100%. I support the growth you've done. I support the wonderful things I've seen. I would caution you not to make this about the money, because once something becomes about the money, whether it's in the private sector or the public sector, things change. Money changes. And I would hate for the very good work that Representative Marquardt has done and the youth have grown and put together for that to all be lost in a future legislative session when we start talking about how much it costs and what it's not bringing to for productivity and goals. So, again, I support all the wonderful work you're doing. You're doing a great job. Keep doing it. Keep growing your communities. Keep doing the civic duties that you all enjoy. But be careful not to fall into the trap of allowing money to become the new goal. So with that, members, thank you.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. Representative Morrison, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members, for hearing House File 1314, and many thanks to our testifiers. I think their testimony spoke for itself to the value of the Minnesota Youth Council here in the Minnesota Legislature, across the state, and really across the country, because they are a unique organization. There are states all over the United States who are trying to emulate what these young people are doing here. They've shown why they're in many instances we need to step aside and listen to their voices. So thanks. Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, committee members. And thank you to the Minnesota Youth Council.
Thank you, Representative Morrison. And with that, Representative Marquardt renews his motion to lay House File 1314 over for possible inclusion at another time. A very special thank you to all of our testifiers. You are shining lights for our state, and I appreciate the work that you are doing so very much. Keep up the great work. And to our members, thank you for your time today. And with that, this meeting is adjourned.